5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Oh, it's showtime, baby. Welcome into Morning Invest on this Thursday, December 10th. Tonight at sundown, the start of Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah to all of our viewers who celebrate Hanukkah. Welcome in. You can become a channel member by supporting the show on independent journalism. Stop getting your news from the mainstream media because they're just lying to you. Morninginvest.com/join is how you can support independent journalism for less than a cup of coffee once a month. $1.99 is all you need. So thank you so much. We're going to be covering the stimulus this morning and the very latest back and forth between Republicans and Democrats and who's stalling and who's dragging their feet and what roadblocks stand in the way. We did get some big news overnight, though, from the House of Representatives because they passed a omnibus spending bill extension. So not the full bill, but just a week long extension because they can't actually get a full bill done. So they just do a weekly thing. Kicking the can down the street. The whole reason they said that they did this was so that they could keep the government open in order to pass stimulus checks. So it looks like, in fact, yes, we will see a stimulus package very soon. The question is what's in and what's out. And the big question I have this morning is stimulus checks. Are they in or are they out? So we will dive into the very latest on all of that. Plus, unemployment numbers out this morning. The new jobless numbers just hit. We will go through what this looks like for the American economy as we enter a dark period with all kinds of things expiring in the next few weeks. Also, we'll be talking about censorship. This debate has been unfolding throughout the year. Of course, if you've been watching social media, all these different social media platforms deplatforming individuals for saying certain things. Is this America or is this North Korea?
Did you get the text message
Facebook,
I sent you?
Twitter.
This morning?
It's in the show, baby.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. Dave and I were texting this morning about... Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were texting this morning, so... I mean, we're going to get to it a little bit later in the show, but I mean, the Congress could be considering a bill that if you stream pieces of other people's information, it could be just like a little video clip that you use of a news clip or something, that you might be sued, thrown in prison as a result.
Yeah, I just did a video about DMCA this last week talking about, you know, people are like focused on music with that. So I'll talk about that when you get to do the topic.
Yeah, big story, though, on censorship. And then also the very platform you're watching us on right now took down 8,000 channels as a result of spreading misinformation. So what kind of world are we living in? I mean, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. Clayton, just don't put the cart before the horse.
Yep. It's like, okay, I want to talk about it right now.
I know. Got big economic news to get to. Grover's ready for that. He's been hanging out by the heater this morning, waiting. He says, thanks for all your love, by the way. He receives all of your kind feedback. So thanks so much for your kindness. And David is in the control booth today. He's our head producer,
executive producer. I never liked the title executive, so it doesn't suit me.
And I don't even know what it... I'm going to come up with a different producer title for you.
This is not producer.
Mainstream media after all. Geek producer. Yeah, I like that. All right, let's get to it. We've got some big stimulus news to get to on this Thursday morning. So overnight, you know, we did our live show. We did our show last night, of course, at 9 p.m. Eastern. And we're going to be doing those for a while. I mean, I don't see us stopping doing those, to be honest with you. So we're doing one at 9 a.m. Eastern and 9 p.m. Eastern. So I don't know where we'll sleep. We'll sleep somewhere in between all of that. But nevertheless, last night, of course, we covered the very latest pushback from Democrats on the stimulus plan from Republicans. And at issue is Mitch McConnell,
wanting to table, take off the table right now, two individual pieces of the stimulus. He says, you know, he's making a moral equivalency between state and local government aid and liability protections for businesses. So he's trying to thread that needle somehow. And it's a brilliant move, right? He's trying to say, hey, look, I really want liability protection. That's my biggest focus. I want to make sure that businesses don't get sued out of existence. And I want to take care of those big businesses. That's a big deal to me. So I'll take that piece off the table. And over here, I know Democrats really want firefighters and police departments and municipal workers that pick up your trash and teachers to get money. We'll take that off the table. That's his moral equivalency. So we're starting there, which is absolutely absurd. So yesterday, of course, Democrats were all up in arms about this, of course. And Chuck Schumer came out to talk about this and slam Republicans for it as a non-starter. Here is Chuck Schumer immediately after Mitch McConnell made this ridiculous assertion.
It remains my view that we ought to pass what we can agree on. And I think that's a pretty broad area that includes PPP, vaccine delivery, additional assistance to healthcare providers, and a variety of other things that are not controversial. What I recommend is we set aside liability and set aside state and local and pass those things that we can agree on, knowing full well we'll be back at this after the first of the year.
Well, unfortunately, I mixed up my sound bites, but that was Mitch McConnell making the plea to put those things on the table or get those things off the table. Chuck Schumer, just an hour later, literally an hour later, comes out, rips off his mask and says, this is ridiculous. You're drawing a line between these two items here. They're not the same. Bernie Sanders flew off the handle about it as well. The list went on. So as we deal with this right now, this is the issue that we're dealing with right now, is that that this current proposal wouldn't include state and local government money. Mitch McConnell wants to take that off the table. And so where do we stand right now? Well, we stand with the House of Representatives extending right now overnight through this omnibus extension, giving us another week of breathing room here, which means another week of hand-wringing to figure out what in the heck Congress wants to do with this. Congressional leaders advanced the short-term extension in federal funding as negotiations over this measure continue to unfold. They voted 343-67 to keep the government running for another week. Appropriators have continued to make progress on a set of spending bills to fund federal agencies, only with a few outstanding policy issues left to be resolved. They said talks on the broader stimulus package are at risk, though, of breaking down because the White House, of course, threw their hat into the ring last night with a stimulus proposal that does not include unemployment benefits. Which, when I heard this, I thought, who in the right mind would think that that's acceptable? Who's going to go along with that? And it's interesting that both Republicans and Democrats almost came out immediately and said, no way. But they did say, hey, we'll give you $600 in stimulus checks directly to the American people. I was watching Jim Cramer last night, and I like his take on the stock market. I thought his assessment of this was completely asinine. It's basically telling people to ignore the unemployment piece of this mess. Just pay attention over here. What's behind door number one on having stimulus direct payments, but don't worry about unemployment benefits.
I haven't mentioned the Treasury Secretary's $916 billion proposal from last night.
Yes, I spoke to him this morning, and I think it's got something interesting that people should listen to. $600 per child, $600 per adult, $2,400 checks right to you. Per family four. And I think that this is something you're going to hear about, and people are going to say, wait a second, how can we not do this? How can we not give the country a holiday present when we are so beaten down?
Oh, yeah, it's a present. It's a holiday present, Jim. That's how you see it. How can we not? Yes, this should be included in it. Regardless, $1,200 should be included in the stimulus negotiations. Not $600, and also eliminating unemployment benefits. He's scratching his head to understand how could anyone be against this? No, it's not that we're against this piece of it. It's that we're against the fact that you're removing unemployment benefits, and this is dropped down from $1,200. Like, we're literally fighting over scraps at this point. Mnuchin said, by sending out checks, we're putting money in the economy for people. This will have the impact of creating demand, which will have the impact of creating jobs. We want to get people their jobs back. You know how really you could drive the economy is to have an ongoing, recurring monthly stimulus payment. Man, that would really drive businesses back, wouldn't it? If everyone could count on, like Canada and other countries, having $2,000 a month that qualify. Imagine having that additional money. And by the way, the unemployment benefits if you lost your job and it's permanently gone. That would really drive things. But you're going to cut this down to $600?
Down, and so many people are out of work. Is it the right unemployment figures for the Democrats? No. But I keep in mind, a check from the government is something that a lot of people may like. And I think there could be a little bit more of a groundswell over this proposal than others. And I.
No. Yeah, there's going to be a groundswell in the opposite direction. Like, this to me goes to show you how out of touch, like, you know, New York City based media elites are, by the way. They just see this dollar. $600? Yeah, who? This is like a holiday present. So someone can go out and buy a PlayStation 5. What about the people that are losing their homes? I'm going to be covering more on the evictions and the eviction nightmare that's about to unfold across the country as we're now starting to see some of that data. I'll be covering that in another show. This is not a holiday present. It's like a cute little holiday present. It's like, oh, someone got me a Starbucks gift card. Oh, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin sent me a Dunkin' Donuts card. That's a nice holiday present. This is a matter of life and death now for people who can't pay for medicine, by the way, whose 13 million healthcare, 13 million Americans whose healthcare has now disappeared and dried up. That's a cute holiday present. Bernie Sanders wasn't having any of that. When asked about this yesterday, $1,200 checks need to be on the table, at least getting direct stimulus checks. He spent the first few minutes of this interview smashing Mitch McConnell over wanting to curry favor with big businesses once again and making sure that liability protection is taken care of. But then he went on to slam him, of course, over stimulus checks.
I have real concerns about this bill or this proposal, which we have not quite seen yet, to be honest with you. Because it does not address the economic crisis facing tens of millions of families in this country. We are right now in the worst economic shape since the Great Depression. And this proposal does not include that $1,200 direct payment per individual and $500 for kids that we desperately need in order to put working families back on their feet. It would be a real help. We don't have it. I'm going to fight to see that we get that included.
Yeah, it's not there yet. It's not in there, unfortunately. And a number of members of, you think that maybe they're going to listen to Wall Street. A lot of these big companies now have come out and said, hey, Congress, you know, we donate a lot of money to your campaigns. You need to get direct stimulus checks. You need to get a stimulus plan done ASAP. So a number of other companies now are throwing their hat behind this. Starbucks CEO joins McDonald's, Walmart, and others in calling for Congress to pass another stimulus package. Maybe they'll pay attention to they'll pay attention to Wall Street. They might listen to them. It's hard to say if they will or not.
Yeah, because it'd be a shame for those multi-billion dollar corporations to give their employees their own stimulus package. Just saying.
Right. Well, it is true. You know, I saw a story this morning. You're right about that. If billionaires got together and decided to give out a stimulus to the American people at $3,000 stimulus, they would still earn and have more money than they would at since the beginning of the pandemic. That because of that charitable deduction, they would actually make more money than they would have had they not. And by the way, since the pandemic started, they've made billions. As you know, Jeff Bezos adds another $60 or $70 billion to his wallet. So imagine if these billionaires came out and did their own stimulus like that. But it's sad. We shouldn't have to rely on that, should we?
No, I mean, in a way, if you look at it,
on the federal government.
If you look at it, it's almost like, you know, that they're still bailing out the Starbucks and stuff when they give people stimulus, when these companies could very well just take that and do it themselves. Some of those companies, you know, it's just backwards thinking.
Yeah, because the people are going to go in there and spend, if they have that money, they can go into these stores and it helps them. I mean, ultimately it helps them. It goes back into the economy. And they just don't seem to understand that. Bernie Sanders went on to attack the point that that's been made about trying to get some additional things through Congress right now and why they're stonewalling, have such difficulty on it. Listen to this.
Spoke with Republican Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri over the weekend. He is also saying that he wants that included and thinks the bill should be vetoed if it doesn't include it. I wasn't aware that Josh Hawley was in favor of direct payments. Are there enough Republicans on your side on this, on the direct payment part of this, that it could make a difference? Because obviously Republicans still control the U.S. Senate.
Well, that's what we're working on right now. And right now I'm working with my Democratic colleagues to make it clear that we should not go forward unless we do what the American people want. Right now, Jake, as you well know, I mean, we got half of our people living paycheck to paycheck. Something like 20% of our population now is either unemployed.
Sorry, Bernie, it's not half. It's 60%. It's over 60% of Americans living paycheck to paycheck, not half.
We're earning less than $20,000 a year. People are facing eviction. Hunger is at a higher level today than any time in recent history. We have got to address those issues. And it concerns me very much that this bill is far, far, far less than the other proposals that the Democrats have brought forth.
Well, let me play devil.
So I don't know if they'll get the support. Again, it really comes down to Mitch McConnell and whether or not he'll bring it to the floor. You know, that's the power of the Senate Majority Leader. So we've got 4 days, folks, 4 days until early voting starts in Georgia for that runoff election on January 5th. President-elect Biden is flying to Georgia. He'll be there next week campaigning for Warnock and why can't I remember the other one? And Loeffler, right? Warnock and no. Yeah. Or forgive me. Getting my senators right. Yeah, someone wants to hit me up in the chat. Man, it's been a long morning. But yeah, Biden's going to be down there campaigning. So early voting is starting. So again, this is what comes down to the power in the Senate, you know, whether or not you can put a bill on the table and actually bring it to the floor after it comes out of committee. He has that power to table it or not do anything about it. So we got more details now. We have not seen a full bill yet. We've gotten more details about this bipartisan bill. And this is a summary that's been obtained by The Hill. They're still lacking some details, but one big headline that came out of this proposal, the updated proposal, is there's $160 billion that would be provided to state and local governments. Now, state and local governments, I'm talking governors and mayors all across the country. The National Governors Association, made up of Democrats and Republican governors, have said, we are bleeding. John Ossoff, thank you so much, Lisa. Appreciate it. Ossoff and Warnock, that's right. Sounds like a comic book duo or something. Or something out of like a Lord of the Rings duo.
Or a folk music group.
Yeah, folk music group, right. Hall & Oates. Ossoff and Warnock. Your kiss is on my list. So $160 billion would go to state and local governments. That would be good news. Again, they want $500 billion, made up of Republicans and Democrats. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on Tuesday said that setting aside both issues and just passing the bill as is, you know, maybe we can get more done that way. That's a non-starter for Democrats that are pointing to sanitation workers, firefighters, police officers, all sorts of transit infrastructure that's being shut down because state and local governments are bleeding capital right now. So now we know that among the pieces in this, there would be $300 for federal boosted benefits until the end of December, from the end of December until April. So January 1st until April, 16 weeks of $300 per week in unemployment benefits. That's in this bipartisan proposal. According to the summary, the proposal would also make businesses eligible for a second PPP loan if they have 300 or fewer employees and had a revenue loss of 30% in any quarter in 2020. It also would make local chambers of commerce eligible for PPP loans. It would expand the types of expenses that PPP loans can be used for and be forgiven. and include and set aside to ensure that the smallest businesses and businesses in underserved communities receive loans. And additionally, here's a big piece of this. This is a big tax change from the first round of this, is that it would simplify the loan forgiveness process for businesses that received loans of $150,000 or less. And this is very important if you're a small business. It would specify that business expenses that were paid with PPP loan proceeds are tax deductible. That's a huge switch. Did you hear that, honey? What? It's a big deal. That now this would be switched to being tax deductible if you paid your expenses with a PPP loan. It's a big deal. It's a big deal for a lot of businesses. It was the idea of double dipping, really, because you're getting basically a bailout. And then would you also be able to claim this bailout on your taxes? The answer is yes, under this proposal. So now any business expenses that you paid for, bought a new computer for your company, hired a few employees, fixed a roof on your business, bought a new truck for your contracting business, whatever it is, those expenses that were allowed under the COVID plan, you could then write off if this passes in this way. And I think that Republicans would support this. And that would be retroactive. So this is very important if this passes for you to talk to your accountant and your CPA to make sure you get to take advantage of this if, in fact, you got a PPP loan. It would also extend the eviction moratorium until the end of January and provide $25 billion in rental assistance to state and local and Native American tribes. It would extend student loan forbearance provisions through the end of April. John Shank says Clayton Domino has given out their own form of stimulus. All employees getting a bonus for hours until to November 20th. For me, that's $700. If they give $2 an hour like before, that's $1,400. Yeah, John. I mean, a lot of these companies are trying to fill in the spaces that the government sucks at right now. You know, and this is sad that these companies are having to step up and do this, and other countries have been able to pull this off. Other areas of this proposal where the summary offers details includes funds for healthcare and education providers, vaccine development and distribution, testing and tracing, and food assistance. So there's some good stuff in here. There's extending broadband for local communities as well, setting up internet access, hotspots for schools so that kids that can do virtual learning. It would allocate billions of dollars to bring broadband to the rest of the country. So some good news there on that. But again, zero money for direct stimulus checks right now. And this is really sad. Bernie Sanders was making the rounds, though, yesterday, man. He was all over the place. Stephanie Ruhle had him on. And once again, he went after this idea of not having these stimulus checks. Let's listen to him on the Stephanie show. This time he's all masked up. I don't know what the difference is between him on Jake's show.
Like Devil's advocate for a second, because...
And then he goes on Stephanie's show. He's in the same spot.
Yes, I think there is one, but Senator Holly indicates that he is supportive of a $1,200 per person direct payment and $600 or $500 for children. I think the Democratic caucus is ready to go forward on that. Yesterday, I sent out a letter with five other senators, and I think we can have virtually all of the United States Democratic senators on board. The question now is whether or not Mitch McConnell is going to turn his back, as your report just indicated, on the incredible suffering that the American people, the working people, are now experiencing. Unemployment high. We have a record level of hunger in America. Millions of people are facing evictions. This is an emergency. Congress has got to respond aggressively to help working families. You know, Stephanie, I always get a kick. Here in Washington, when we go to war, there's endless amounts of money. Tax breaks for billionaires, endless amounts of money. Corporate welfare, endless amounts of money. When children are going hungry in America today, suddenly we don't have enough money. That's crap. That's wrong.
That's crap. That's wrong. That's crap. That's wrong. I got to get that into a soundbite. That's crap. That's wrong. It's exactly right. It's what we've been saying here on the show. If you listen to my show at any length, these foreign wars, I know David's going to make fun of me. You and your wars. Yeah. These foreign wars that we're spending billions of dollars on, trillions of dollars on, and our kids don't have internet access to do virtual learning because they're being forced to stay home. They don't have school. They don't have food. We can't take care of our workers. We can't take care of our people. As Thomas Jefferson talked about, you know, people should never be afraid of their government. Government should always be afraid of its people.
Well, what does it say?
An institution that doesn't serve its people, it should be torn down.
Yeah, and what does it say about our country when we've got enough money to kill people but not save people?
It's more lucrative, right? It's the same reason we don't have preventative medicine, right? It's more lucrative for big pharma to make money off the treating the problems, keeping you on perpetual medicine. It you know, the system rewards you. By the way, have you? I don't know if you ever listened to the Wondery podcast. They had a series called Dr. Death. Season 2 just came out of Dr. Death. It's a true crime show. It's like 8 episodes or 6 episodes or something. My wife and I were listening to it on our drive over the past week. And it focuses on a doctor who he was basically lying to patients, telling them that they had cancer, and then keeping them on chemo even up until the day they died, just so he could cash in on the chemo treatments.
Jeez.
And I mean, it's horrifying. And, but that's our system. You don't go to other countries and see pharmaceutical television ads, you know, like AstraZeneca, you know, may cause bleeding, blah, 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 blah. You know, you don't see that in other countries. Why? Because we're having to do all of this mass advertising so you, the American consumer, can be sitting there at home watching your show at night, watching Jeopardy, and you're like, you know what? I do have restless leg syndrome. I am going to call my doctor and see if I can get on some of that medicine. Feeling blue shows a little like bouncy ball with a sad face. Have you been feeling blue? You don't have to. Oh, you know what? I have been feeling a little blue. Yeah, haven't we all? We're living in a pandemic right now. Or locked at home. Maybe you should get on some medication. Acid reflux? Yeah, instead of not eating hot wings every night, maybe that's the solution. I love when I see that guy. Who's the stand-up comedian who does the... What's his name? He has the cut-off sleeves, and he does the commercials for acid reflux. Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh yeah, Larry the Cable Guy.
You know, Larry the Cable Guy's like, I don't have acid reflux anymore. And get her done. Do you know that he doesn't have that accent in real life? I've met him. He's not even from the South. Isn't that funny? He plays a whole character. I've interviewed him, like in the green room. He like talks like this, and it's a whole character thing. Anyway, like instead of like, now I can eat all the food I want because I take this medicine. How about this idea? Maybe you shouldn't be eating that big pile of hot wings every night and nachos that cause the acid reflux. There's an idea. No, the pharmaceutical company will spend millions of dollars on television commercials to get you to do that. So that's the system that America operates in. But I love this. Cut the crap.
Corporate welfare, endless amounts of money. When children are going hungry in America today, suddenly we don't have enough money. That's crap. That's wrong.
That's crap. That's wrong. New t-shirt coming soon. That's crap. That's wrong. When children can't, you know, don't have enough food to eat in the house, and we're food insecure in this country. So we'll be keeping our eye on the very latest on this. So the good news is right now, at least, that the government is open for another week. So these idiots can get some work done and try to get a bill passed. And let's see if Turtle Boy brings it to the floor. We had a lot of questions that came in overnight. A lot of really good tweets, by the way. I read, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm Clayton Morris on Twitter. Follow me there, and I will answer your questions as well. I asked a lot of you who left me tweets yesterday, hey, could I feature them on the show? So I got a bunch of them here. We got some breaking news on this, by the way. I just want to bring this to you. A little bit of updates here before I do that from Jeff Stein. So the House approves bill funding government until December 19th, which is next week. And of course, these are the huge deadlines, right, that we're facing. The pandemic unemployment assistance expires on December 26th, right after Christmas. That's your holiday gift there, Jim Cramer. And then on my birthday, December 31st.
At least they waited till the 26th, you know? They didn't do it on the 25th. That's Thank you for that.
Well, they would have if those government offices were open. You know,
is that a Sunday?
Well, it's Christmas, right? December 25th is Christmas. So if it was, so they'll be closed on that day, right? But if they were open, God knows they would have made that stuff expire. And then, hey, you know, New Year's Eve, right? What a good way to start your year. Your eviction moratorium expires. So on January 1st, you're kicked out. January 1st, airport layoff freeze ends. So they get to start firing people at the airports. And January 1st, your paid leave expires. That's all great stuff. It's really good. Here's some good user comments here. D. Murphy this morning. Do you think that Mitch McConnell will agree to any proposal that has both unemployment extensions and stimulus checks in it? If not, which one of those do you think will make it through to the final cut? I think if anything goes through, it's unemployment extensions. Because it's tied to the labor force. And it's also tied to those labor numbers. And so when we get to look at the latest jobs numbers, which we'll do in a second, it's tied to those numbers. And if they can keep those numbers, if they can keep kind of fudging those numbers, they will. But the other money just goes to random people. You know, it's just going out to people that maybe have stopped looking for work for a long time. And it's just like, for them, there's enough evidence, at least from their economists, their elitist economists, that think that people are just taking this money and just paying some bills. It's not really going to help things more broadly to get back to work, schools reopen. That's what they're focused on. Mitch McConnell is focused on, you know, how can we keep our schools open, get businesses reopen? And to them, sending out these checks doesn't do that, which is hilarious because money in people's pockets means that people will spend money and buy things they need for their families. Right? Groceries and et cetera. That helps job creation. That helps businesses.
Well, and isn't today,
they can't draw the line.
Isn't today the last day they have to do this before, are they leaving for break? Cause tomorrow, technically they leave for Christmas vacation.
No, by extending the government offices, this means that they're able to stay and work for another few days.
Okay.
So by having this extension, this omnibus spending bill that goes through until December 19th, the one that Jeff Stein just tweeting about, this means that they get to, so this, you know, this approval of this funding bill keeps the government open until December 19th, the government offices. So they will be working on this. The idea is, and this is basically Mitch McConnell said, hey, the reason we're doing this is so that we can, or the reason the House said that we're doing this is so that we can actually get a stimulus bill through. So it's like they gave themselves an extra week, you know. Hey, I didn't do the homework. Can I have an extra week to get the homework done? You had all summer. Wait to the last minute, you know. Like, I'm a procrastinator, but even this is like a bridge too far for me. Here's some more tweets that I wanted to get to. George Diaz says, what's taking so long? Well, he didn't say that. I added that inflection. I hope you don't mind, George. Why is Congress so out of touch? Why is the American government letting their people down? Why is 45 more focused, President Trump, number 45, more focused on lying his way back to reelection and sowing dissent instead of rising to the moment and helping the American people in their time of need? Imagine how different. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, there's an analogy I just thought of. It's like you have somebody hanging on the edge of a cliff. They're like hanging off the edge, and the Dems and Republicans are up there arguing what kind of rope to use. And they're like, you know what? Hang on till tomorrow. We're going to go argue about this, and we'll get with you tomorrow and see if we can find the kind of rope that we want. We got two kinds of rope up here, but we're just not really sure what kind we want to use to save you. So we're going to go discuss it, and we'll be back.
Right. A polyester blend. A cotton blend, a nylon blend. How do you want to hang yourself here?
No,
how do you
hemp.
Want to jump off this cliff.
No hemp, because we definitely can't agree hemp on that.
Right. No hemp. So why? I mean, that's a great question. Why has he sown such dissent? He had an opportunity. You know, like I said, I just finished reading a few weeks ago Bob Woodward's book Rage, and you get to see this all unfold in his own voice. And you get to see him basically ignoring the pandemic, not listening to Lindsey Graham, who is telling him, like, this is going to be the end of your presidency unless you get a handle on this. Imagine if he had shown true leadership back in April and May, instead of saying that this whole thing would go away, we'll be open by Easter, it's not a big deal, don't worry about it, don't worry about masks, all the whole nine yards, right? Ignore all of that. Imagine if he had grabbed the bull by the horns back at that time of the year and said, every day I'm going to be working tirelessly to make sure that not only do we have a vaccine, you know, Operation Warp Speed, but also making sure that the American people are safe. And we're going to make sure, I'm going to push Mitch McConnell, Republicans and Democrats, I'm going to make sure they're in the White House on a regular basis or at Camp David having a summit. We're going to get regular stimulus out to the American people. We're going to see us through. We're the greatest country in the world, blah, blah, blah. He could have spun that yarn. Imagine how differently it would have felt if Americans were getting $2,000 a month because of his leadership every month. He wouldn't have lost the election. The reason he lost the election was his handling of COVID and becoming an absentee president, basically, in one of the greatest national emergencies we've ever faced. And that shows up in exit polls. That's not just me saying that. So here's another tweet this morning. Maria Angela says, we should revolt. Why are we not able to take their salaries away that we pay with our tax money? This is out of money. We are in need. A bunch of degenerates. I hate them. Yeah. It'd be nice if we could take their salary away. But you know, the beautiful thing about Congress is like every few years, they vote to give themselves a pay raise. Wouldn't that be great? We just vote to give ourselves pay raises. Not answerable to you. The only thing they're answerable to is you voting them out. But because of these elites, they're so entrenched, we don't vote them out. How is Mitch McConnell still majority leader? Kentucky, you want to answer that question for me? You can't go up against all that those billions of dollars that are being funneled in from all those natural gas companies and oil companies and big businesses and everything else that keep Mitch McConnell in power. Good luck. It's a terrible system that we're in right now. We need a massive change. I agree on the revolt piece, by the way. Here's some latest unemployment numbers out this morning, as I promised you. So the number of workers seeking unemployment benefits is hovering at an all-time high. As layoffs persist in a slowing labor market, this recovery is grinding to a halt. Initial jobless claims, which are basically a proxy for layoffs, have slowly declined since dropping below 1 million a week at the end of August. But in recent weeks, they've held now above 695,000, which is a record high weekly figure before the pandemic. The trend tracks improvements in the job market, as the Wall Street Journal reports, as it recovers from widespread business closures in the spring and a recent slowing as the economy continues to face the pandemic. The Economist, policymakers, and investors have viewed jobless claims as a bellwether, an economic indicator, for a half a century. The GAO, the Government Accountability Office, said last month that the high levels of claims during the pandemic and problems with temporary pandemic-related aid programs are causing states to provide flawed data to the Labor Department. So basically what we're saying is that it's worse than we thought. Andy Challenger, senior vice president, Outplace firm, which is now placement firm, said job destruction has not come to an end. We might be gaining jobs overall, but thousands of people are losing their jobs every week because demand has not returned. So some higher level employees are now getting their jobs back or getting jobs. There's demand at the higher level, those higher skilled workers, the higher end wages. It's the lower skilled workers. It's the lower paid workers, the hospitality service sector, retailers, etc., which are not hiring and are collapsing. Many of those workers that would have been laid off this spring expected to return to their jobs pretty quickly. That has not happened. When someone is let go today, Mr. Challenger said, that means that the company doesn't see that job existing for a while. Unbelievable. And if that's not bad enough, more than 20 million workers were receiving unemployment benefits in mid-November. And many of those, of course, are ending in a few weeks. Especially those programs for gig workers and those that are not otherwise tied to the jobless benefits that you would normally have because you were a W-2 employee. Our whole system is screwed. Because our system is designed to reward those people that have a traditional W-2 employment, right? Healthcare, you go to work at the, hey, it's my first day on the job here at Widgets Anonymous, you know? And before you go up to your desk, we're going to show you where your new desk is. You have to go down to HR and fill out your employee handbook. Give us your W-2 and all of that stuff. We're going to set up your direct deposit. You work 40 hours a week. You got to punch in and punch out. Our economy doesn't work that way anymore. Like the idea of a full-time worker, W-2 worker, is drying up across the country. Gone are the days where that was the thing you did for 30 years. But our system is structured around that. So we need an entire structural change as it relates to unemployment benefits in this country. And we're seeing it during this pandemic. So the pandemic unemployment assistance, the PUA, would be extended under this bipartisan approach. But if it's not, it's going to dry up in a few weeks. So all of these gig workers, these contract workers who are now unemployed because their contracts have dried up, like the venue, the people that like do concerts and venues, and I mean, the list goes on. You know, you get a contract to build a stage for a venue. You get a contract to set up a lighting setup at a department store. You're not an employee of the department store at Macy's. You're a contractor. Well, now all of your work is dried up. Are you not entitled to unemployment benefits just like the guy with the W-2 employee check, paycheck? Of course you are. You think those benefits dry up. When spring restrictions were lifted, here's an example, locksmiths or baseball games, events. I mean, you name it. These are all people that were able to get that $600 in unemployment benefits that transformed them. I mean, they were able to stay out of poverty. Some of them were able to invest and create their own business. It was transformative. And the fact that we're hand-wringing over this friggin' thing is ridiculous. Alex asks, do you think there's any chance we'll get the $1,200 if anything passes? Well, if anything passes, I don't know. I mean, again, stimulus checks are off the table right now. If Bernie Sanders can steamroll them, there's enough people calling Mitch McConnell's office and lighting the switchboard up. And if there's enough Republicans that throw their support behind stimulus checks, maybe that gets added to this. Remember, there's still about $500 billion that hadn't been used sitting there that we could allocate towards a piece of this. I'm just so disgusted by this government. It's just such a joke at this point. It's like you want to try to justify, like, I hate even trying to justify their positions. Like, oh, I see where Mitch, like I'm not allowed to have an opinion about this. This is ridiculous. This moral equivalency about having liability protection taken off the table. And then on the other side of it, you also take off state and local aid to make sure that people don't lose their jobs, teachers, municipal workers who are cleaning up trash, police officers, firefighters, investigators, by the way, investigators that investigate crime, having their jobs furloughed. That's what happens when state and local aid is dried up. It's not the same thing, Mitch. Two different things. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Drop me a comment below. Subscribe to the channel if you would. We do this show every morning live at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Electric Revolution says, out of all the people who do these vids on YouTube about stimulus checks on the news, Clayton is the best and most informed of them all. Thank you so much. Very kind of you. That's the product of a lot of reading and contextualizing. Because there's a lot of BS. Like, I mean, the bottom line is when you get these things from the mainstream media, and you hear the way that a news anchor asks a question, you have to think about the sort of corporate agenda by which they're asking that question. You know, you hear Stephanie Ruhle at MSNBC asking these questions of Bernie Sanders. It comes from a place of corporate overlords driving the narrative there.
And if we have got to stay here throughout Christmas, which is the last thing in the world that I would want to do, we are going to stay here. Because we are going to make sure that struggling working families in this country get the help they desperately need.
Senator, I'm not agreeing with you fundamentally, but I want to talk to you practically.
I'm not agreeing with you fundamentally. I don't agree that we should have fundamentally. What's the fundamental here? I'm not agreeing with you fundamentally. because her argument in this interview, by the way, is that basically we should just go along with what Mitch McConnell wants to do. You know, here's an agreement. Unemployment, $1,200 checks are not a part of this process. You know what? Okay, that's a good compromise. Let's take what we can get. Let's take what we can get right now. And this is the very problem that we had before. And so now we're up against Nancy Pelosi. See, MSNBC will never call out Nancy Pelosi for this. We had an opportunity under Nancy Pelosi back in this back a few months ago to actually put forth and accept that smaller stimulus package, that $1.8 trillion stimulus package. It included unemployment checks or unemployment benefits. It included stimulus checks. But Nancy Pelosi was playing politics and was holding out so that Donald Trump wouldn't be reelected. Karen Manhattan says they're not worried about what we need as long as they get their checks. It's true. You know, I love Jake's question here at the end. And Mitch, this is where Bernie Sanders gets fired up about this. I want to play this for you.
Look, I don't doubt your sincerity, and I don't doubt that this legislation could be much, much better for all the Americans in desperate need.
Listen to this corporate BS. Look, I don't doubt your sincerity, and I don't doubt that this could be better.
But the fact of the matter is, Donald Trump is still in the White House and will be until January 20th. Republicans control the U.S. Senate and at the very least will be in charge of the U.S. Senate until January 5th, if not afterwards as well. Are you making the perfect the enemy of the good?
No, I'm not. Look, as you recall, Trump himself has agreed in the past to, I believe, a $1.8 trillion bill, including these $1,200 direct payments. It's something that Trump has already supported.
True. True.
What we need is a compromise. I know I can't get everything that I want, but this bill really is not a compromise. It gives the Republicans almost everything that they wanted. And one of the interesting parts about it, as I understand it, and I have not seen the proposal yet, but Mitt Romney, who is one of the Republican negotiators, said that over $500 billion of this $900 billion in the bill is not new money. It's money being shifted away from the old CARES Act, money that has not yet been spent. So we're talking about $350 billion or so new dollars when Democrats originally talked about over $3 trillion in new money to help working families in this country. So I don't think this is much of a compromise.
He's right. But if you listen to the mainstream media, listen to CNN and MSNBC, basically saying, hey, you know, just take it. Just take it. They're carrying the pail for the moderates in Washington. And sort of the left wing, the progressives who want to be able to take care of the people that are hardest hit, they get squeezed out like this. I mean, just watching it on mainstream media, watch Jake do it. Watch Stephanie Ruhle do it. Watch.
You've been the lead sponsor of 422 bills during your 30 years in Congress, but only 7 of them have become law. Given that record and how dire things are, as you just laid out, do you need to find...
I mean, really? Someone had to have made that graphic at her, you know, at some producer's direction. Okay, we're going to have Bernie Sanders on today. Come on, guys. We didn't want him to be on our shows during the election. We hid him from graphics. All right, he's coming on now. He wants to blow his gasket about $1,200 stimulus checks. Let's have him on. Let's just have him on. But you know what? Let's make a graphic. Has he ever been successful with passing legislation? Oh, you've co-sponsored 422 bills, 7 of which you've gotten to made law. Yeah, what's not being said in that whole process? Is that maybe it drives the discussion so a bill that's similar gets passed? Or I mean, there's so many things that are wrong with that. But that's their frame, right? Is that you're too progressive, you're too left wing. Come on, just take what Mitch McConnell wants to spoon feed you here. Just go along with these centrist Democrats that are saying, you know what, we don't need direct stimulus checks, but we've got the other money in here for these other programs.
Find another lane or take a different approach here.
I don't think that's the issue, Stephanie. I mean, you can ask me how many other senators have passed significant legislation in recent years. Question is, you could name post offices and so forth and so on. Some of the legislation that I've worked on, the veterans bill, for example, has been very significant in passing. But the issue right now is is the United States Congress going to stand up for working people or not? And I am doing my best to rally not only Democrats, but Republicans as well. Now, as you may know, the proposal that came out of the White House just yesterday talks not about $1,200 per person, but $600. That's unacceptable. And by the way, they want to do away with all extended unemployment benefits. And that is also unacceptable. As your report, your very excellent report indicated, all over the world, countries are responding to the pain that working families are experiencing. We have got to do the same.
This economic disaster is directly linked to the health crisis. Millions of we've got people going to work sick every single day because they don't have paid leave because they're.
That goes on from there. But we know where she's coming from. She said it. I fundamentally disagree with you. And by the way, let me throw up a graphic that shows how much of a failure you've been as a senator. I thought his answer, though, was good. Like, how many of these senators pass legislation that names a post office?
And then butters her up with, you're excellent.
Right. Your excellent reporting that was just, well, that, he's making the point like, hey, the report that even was on your show before you came on was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to name, so I'm going to pass legislation. Today is going to be National Croissant Day. Wow, look at Clayton. He keeps getting all of these bills through Congress. Next Thursday will be National Loofah Day, because you can save more with your soap when you use a loofah than just a washcloth.
Yeah, hey, Bernie, Clayton, I'm sorry, but there's just so not enough stuff in here to benefit the rich, so we're just going to have to say no on this one.
I'm going to go ahead and say no on this one.
You didn't put a cover on your benefits? PPS report, Bernie.
Right. Okay. I'm going to need you to come in on Saturday.
Okay.
So they're going to be working up until Christmas. I hope they get something done before that. That's the one thing you don't want them to do is have to give up their vacation, right? Because when you threaten their vacations, that's when they get things done. Every year around Christmas time, when I was on the new, in the news business for like the last 15 years, every Christmas time, there was this debate over government shutdown. There was this debate over an omnibus spending bill. Can we get this stuff through before a Christmas break? And they would all be furiously, they'd be showing the snow falling on the Capitol. And they'd all be furiously working to try to get these bills done so they can go home for their 5 weeks off. They come back at the end of January. They better get something done. Because they're not back until basically, you know, like mid-January, inauguration day. And then you get a whole new Congress. If that's not bad enough, we now know who is in line to get these vaccines. And you're not going to believe this. I'm going to ask you right now in the chat. Tell me, everyone watching right now, let me know in the comments. I'm going to do a little poll here. Who do you think, when they're discussing who should get these vaccines first, who do you think should be first in line to get vaccines? Let me know in the chat. I would love to hear your thoughts. You know, is it the elderly? Is it frontline workers? Essential? Just tell me, who do you think should be first in line? Give me like your 1 through 5. You know, first should be this. Second should be this. Let me know. I want to know. And then I'm going to tell you who's in line to get these. Who's in line right now to get these vaccines before anyone else? There's a push right now to make sure, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, bank workers and Wall Street could get COVID vaccines before most Americans. That's right.
Well, if there's going to be any adverse effects, I would much rather it happen to them.
I mean, here are the guys, I mean, these are the people on Wall Street. They're saying, you know, yes, because they're bankers, they run the banking industry, that they are considered essential. Wall Street considered essential. They would be basically third in line. They would be not one, not two. They would be third in line.
Clayton, that was your middle finger.
Did you catch that? Not one. They wouldn't be second in line. Unbelievable. I keep saying unbelievable. It's not unbelievable at all. Who's sitting around the conference table coming up with that idea? Who's an essential worker? Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, the White House Coronavirus Task Force led by Mike Pence, Jared Kushner.
I got to say, I've been like very in my head reluctant to even consider the vaccine, right? But if they gave it to the politicians, Wall Street, and the bankers first and let that gel for, you know, 3 or 4 months and there are no adverse effects, that might actually make me reconsider. But at least if there
That's
were,
a good point.
It would hit the ones that, you know, deserve it.
Right. Yeah. I know where you're going with this. Yeah. Hey, let's line them all up, right? Let's line up Wall Street. You guys take the vaccines first, and I'm going to sit back. How's it going over there? How many of you have survived this vaccine? That's what I want to see. Like Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani tweeting this morning, "My treatment by the nurses and staff at Georgetown Medical Star Hospital was miraculous. I walked in with serious symptoms. I walked out better than ever. Doctors Beckett, Kumar, and Lehman led an all-star team. The advice of the White House, Dr. Sean Conley, and Dr. Zev Zelenko was so valuable. It is amazing the type of treatment that you get by the government, your socialized medicine. It is amazing. Thank you, President Trump and Rudy Giuliani, for highlighting the benefits of having great care taken care of by you, the taxpayers. I wish all of us could get this type of treatment." So how quickly will he be back out on the campaign trail, going super spreader himself, going from town to town, trying to spread the joy of the people? Love to hear your comments. Let me know your thoughts on all of that. We got a censorship story to get to here before we wrap things up. So the very platform that you're watching right now made some pretty big headlines yesterday. This comes on the heels of some other big platforms. Deplatforming, taking people off of their platform for saying things that the platform doesn't like or they're violations of their terms of service, etc. Recently, of course, Jack Dorsey, of CEO of Twitter, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, and Google were all dragged before Congress. Jack Dorsey took the brunt of that by Ted Cruz. You remember us playing that? He looked like Ted Kaczynski with his giant beard. And he was asked, you know, how do you get to censor these stories? How do you get to decide to not publish this New York Post story on Hunter Biden's emails and his finances? How do you not? Why is that deemed a violation of terms of service? And so all of these conservatives, all of these people that were publishing that story and retweeting it, it was all showing up as blocked, that it was not deemed worthy of being published. And of course, now we know the story of Hunter Biden overnight came out last night and admitted that he's now under investigation, criminal investigation related to his taxes. But much more, according to reporting, it's not just about taxes, according to the prosecutors. There's more involved in this. That's a big story. The president-elect's son, where Hunter Biden is going around the world currying favor with foreign governments, foreign businesses, in order to make money off of his dad's name? Did he pay adequate taxes? Where did that money go? Hey, all's fair in love and war. They looked at Eric Trump's finances as well. It related to his dad's organization. So they're looking at it. But you wouldn't have been able to publish that story, that New York Post story that broke it, because it was blocked. Then others have been deplatformed for spreading information like that. Well, now the very platform you're watching us on will begin removing any videos that allege voter fraud in the 2020 presidential election. So you know, if you're doing videos like that, be careful, because you'll be flagged, shut down, gone. Tuesday was the safe harbor deadline for states to certify the results of their presidential vote. This means that there can be no more challenges to the results, even though we know that Trump administration is continuing this. They're trying to do this now in Texas. But YouTube officially used this deadline. They wrote about it on their blog as sort of a line in the sand, said they will remove any video uploaded from Wednesday onwards, yesterday on, that, quote, misleads people by alleging that widespread fraud or errors occurred. And they said that that is in line with our approach towards historical U.S. presidential elections. Said, for example, remove any videos claiming that a candidate won an election due to widespread something and something problems, glitches, etc. They'll remove that. But they did say the news coverage of these issues can remain if there's sufficient education, documentary, scientific, or artistic context. But it raises all sorts of questions, right? Because I'm all for, I mean, as I think, I think Kyle Kalinske put it right. Oh, that's not Kyle. That's Rudy. I think Kyle Kalinske put it right over at Secular Talk. He said, you know, every single video claiming Trump won is psychotic, delusional drivel, and the people who make them should be shamed until the end of time and laughed out of police society. It's a little too far, but having said that, removing the videos is a terrible idea and a horrendous precedent. It won't stop there. What do you think about this?
I agree 100%.
YouTube's not playing around. And they're not playing around. They've already removed 8,000 channels. They assert that misinformation represents a fraction of 1% of what is viewed on YouTube, but some videos they consider misleading still get high numbers of views based on outside referrals. And so you become, the real big question then becomes is, what do you deem as appropriate? Yes, after all, we are using your platform, right? You're giving us this platform. It's in many ways now, in some ways, a public utility. Unless the federal government wants to create its own version of like PBS, you know, like PBS YouTube or something, where it's a public utility. We all get access to it if you're an American. But I don't see that happening anytime soon. So we are at the mercy of these big companies that claim to be for free speech, free and open speech, until it's speech they don't like. So my thought is, if there are crazy people out there spreading this crap, let them spread this crap. It enables us to have a fair and open debate about idiots. Instead of doing what China does, which is what goes against the state gets removed. And it's getting worse, as David and I were texting this morning about this. Senator Tom Tillis, a Republican out of North Carolina, is trying to cram one of these proposals. He's trying to cram a commercial streaming copyright proposal inside of the larger Keep the Government Open bill. This is what always happens, by the way. You want to know why this stuff takes forever? It's because instead of it just being a, hey, let's keep the government running, you get morons like this shoving in crap like that. And then they have to go through it and they're like, wait a second, I'm not going to vote for this thing. We're going to take this thing out of here. So what this would do is it would turn unauthorized commercial streaming of copyrighted material, like an album on YouTube. Like if I just grabbed a Beatles album and started playing it. A video clip on Twitch. Like let's say I grabbed a video clip of, Jake Tapper interviewing Bernie Sanders. Or a song on Instagram. It would turn all of those into a felony offense with a possible prison sentence rather than a misdemeanor.
So I was doing on my Geeks Life channel, I was doing a drone review and I used about 7 seconds of a video from Vox. It was The Verge, but Vox Media owns The Verge. And I got a copyright strike and could not stream for 3 months because of that clip. And I even sourced it and everything. I was doing a news show. And to think if this would pass, I could have been facing a felony for that. For 5 seconds, 7 seconds of a clip from video.
It's unbelievable.
And look at who you're putting if that happens, look whose power or whose hands you're putting the power into. The record labels, the movie companies, the people who have something to lose with them missing a dollar from that clip or a penny from that clip. They're already on the
exactly
warpath.
Right. This is a perfect example of having these guys in the back pockets. I mean, I would love to dive into Tom Tillis's, I didn't have time this morning, to dive into his donors. Let's see who's donating to Tom Tillis's campaigns, driving him. Is it big media? Is big media shoveling money to him to put forth such a, it comes from somewhere, it comes from lobbyists. He didn't think of this on his own. Senator Amy Klobuchar says, this is unprecedented. And so she says that, well, so let me read more of the story. The text of the measure has not been publicly released yet, but it's expected to be broadly similar to past entertainment industry-backed attempts to criminalize unauthorized streaming, such as the provisions of the SOPA bill back in 2012. Remember that thing? Holy smokes, everyone came out of the woodwork to defeat that. It sparked an unprecedented internet blackout protest for the Commercial Felony Streaming Act, as it was called, which prompted Justin Bieber to say that its sponsor, Senator Amy Klobuchar, should be locked up.
Justin, that kid, sometimes.
The Biebs.
Yep.
Calling out, yeah. How does a moderate Democrat running for president, Democrat Senator Amy Klobuchar, support a bill that wants to lock people up if they stream something that belonged to somebody else with commentary over it? Like the other day, I streamed something and I got a copyright strike because I showed a Robert Downey Jr. video.
You got a strike for that or a claim?
A claim.
Oh, whew. Oh my gosh, you about gave me a heart attack.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever they call it.
Yeah, it's a claim.
You know, just so they can claim, you know, that's fine. But it's commentary. I play a few seconds of it, you know, and it's commentary.
But the thing is, you getting that claim, that company still could have struck you if they wanted to. It's completely up to the copyright holder whether they claim it or they strike it. And it just depends on who it is. So you still don't know. They could come back later and give you a strike for the same thing if they wanted to.
Well, good thing is I've deleted it or cut it out of the video, so it's not there anymore. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I've had people steal my entire content before, and I've filed a copyright claim, and then they've just taken it down. I didn't file a copyright strike, you know? And it can ruin channels. So it's like a three strikes and you're done. Like, your channel could be shut down as a result of it. But I'm nevertheless, just think about what's driving this right now, right? We are, so for when you support this show, there's over 6,000 of you watching live right now. You're supporting small media, okay? I have a small team here at Morning Invest, and we work really hard, and we're not run by Rupert Murdoch. We're not run by these big media billionaires that run the show. I don't answer to any of them. The only person I answer to is this guy. When he wants to go out and pee, I got to take him out. When he wants dinner, got to feed him. I don't answer to any of these big corporate overlords. And so when you support us by going to morninginvest.com/join, that's what you're fighting against. But the sad part is, you know, like, how does YouTube, you know, how do they differentiate between like videos where I've been critical of someone spreading misinformation about the election? Is their algorithm smart enough to determine like, hey, Clayton did a video where he's showing the evidence that disproves this, but I'm first setting up the story by explaining the misinformation. Are they smart enough to know? Or are they doing this just through an algorithm and all these channels are being wiped away, voices silenced?
Well, then they did say, you know, when I was watching about other things, that the AI is smart enough to get some context, but it's never going to be smart enough to get all context, because it's not like a human is listening to the conversation. How far in advance is the context established, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, I think that you would be at risk if you're even talking about it from a disagreement standpoint. Look at anybody who mentions the pandemic or anything like that, that gets the disclaimer underneath their video. They're obviously hearing that the words in there.
Yeah, precisely. You know, if you live in North Carolina, I'm sorry, that's the wrong. This is the story. If you live in North Carolina, call this dude's office. Heck, if you don't live in North Carolina, call his office, Senator Tom Tillis's office, and tell him that you do not want your government to create felony convictions for people that stream something without authorization. That's what we have courts for, by the way. Right? That's what we have a process for. That's why we have copyright law in this country. Like, if your copyright is being infringed upon, like, I remember a number of years ago, here's an example, right? I was a young guy. I was nervous as hell to receive I got a cease and desist letter in the mail one time from the New York Times. So I created an iPad, an iPhone app. It was the first speed reading app on the iPhone and the iPad called ReadQuick. It was an app that I built. I wanted to be able, because I was going to work every morning to do the news at 3 a.m, and I wanted to read as many news articles as I could before I got to the show first thing in the morning. So I created a speed reading app on my iPad. And one of the images that I used inside of in the App Store on Apple was, hey, you can speed read your favorite news sources, right? And I put a picture of like the New York Times in the frame of like the iPad, you know, like you could read like New York Times. And I had that as one of the pictures. New York Times sent me a cease and desist letter saying that I was unauthorized use of their brand, you know, of their logo, etc. They asked me to remove it. So I logged right into my Apple App Store portal and deleted it. You know, they didn't sue me. They just asked that I removed it. And I said, you got it. And I did. That was it. Done. And Apple, as an intermediary, sent me the email and said, we received this on behalf of New York Times. We're not illegal. Here you go. You do what you want to do, you know? And I did. Great. Done. That's why we have these type. Okay. And then if I didn't, then I imagine a lawsuit would probably show up at my doorstep, right? And they could go through that process. And then a judge could decide, like, is this fair use? Is it not? Under copyright law. But now we need to take it a step further. We need to go one step further and add this provision in now, that if there's some sort of media material that I inadvertently hit play on, like the other day, we were playing something here and you inadvertently, David, hit like a music button, right? Like instead of the Come On Man or something like that, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Well, what if that few seconds of music went out over the stream and now I'm facing a felony because of it? That was copyrighted music. Like that's what we're talking about here.
Well, and they had a legislation that's looking at decriminalizing marijuana, so they're going to have something to fill the prison system with. So they're like, what's the next thing we can
see? Yeah. All these people get it. Yeah, hey, all these for-profit prisons that all these congressmen make money from, you know, these for-profit prison systems, like we got to keep people in prison. How are we going to make money, you know? It's awful. It's awful, man. We got any good questions rolling in as we wrap things up here? Read some more good tweets if you don't.
Let's see. We had some comments from super chatters. Chris Hoffman was just asking really quick. Is there any way to get a home loan when your taxes don't show the revenue, self-employed, other than bank statement loan?
Ooh, is there any way to get a home loan when your taxes don't show the revenue, self-employed, other than bank statement loans? You know, some of the provisions have changed for self-employment as it relates to getting home loans, because so many people are now self-employed or gig workers, so they don't have a W-2 paycheck. Talk with your banks or shop around on that. You should be able to do that. Very often, you'll just have to show 2 years of your business income, your self-employed income. Do you have that length of time? Sadly, it's difficult. Like if you've just left a job and started a business, like, okay, so now you don't have the W-2 job anymore. You started a business. Do you have a 2-year track record that you can show them? So it should just balance out. They would want to see 2 years of your business. Like you run your own painting business. You used 5 years ago work for a painting company. Is it profitable? Can you pay back this loan? That's really what they want to see. But just shop it around. Here's a tweet from Dawn Rodriguez. Why should they get paid, Congress, when they are not helping us? Why people are not protesting Turtle Boy? How can they get him gone? If our families can't have a good Christmas, why should they? Well, sad part is, Dawn, I'm with you. But there's millions of dollars that floated into Kentucky to keep him in power. From big energy companies, big pharmaceutical companies. The list is endless. And when you're Amy McGrath running against him and you have a fraction of that amount flowing in there, even with big Democratic support from the national level, It's incredibly difficult to do. He's got name recognition. He's got chambers of commerce that will continue to vote for him because he brings home the pork. So it's very difficult to unseat an entrenched incumbent. It's in the Senate particularly. The Senate is perhaps the most difficult place to unseat someone historically because of the money. You'll notice that's why we don't see senators lose very often. I mean, it was a big deal. Remember when Eric Cantor lost? He was the House Minority Leader? What was Eric Cantor's title? House Minority Whip? I forget. Anybody know from Virginia what to Eric Cantor? He was a powerful Republican. And he thought for sure he was going to win. And he lost. Same thing with Rick Santorum in Pennsylvania. Like, here's a guy who you never thought he'd lose. Highly disliked senator from Pennsylvania. Continued to win. How is it possible? Big money. Finally, he loses. Same thing with Eric Cantor, but it's very difficult to flip these guys. Yeah, I would love to be able to get some, phone calls that we could take. I got to figure out how we do that with Discord as long as we screened it properly.
Yeah, we could, I mean, I manage Discord, so we could eventually set up a Discord server for the community if we wanted to, once we start doing Twitch.
Let me know your questions. So here's one. George Diaz says, what's taking so long? Why is Congress so out of touch? Why is the American government letting their people down? George Diaz, of course, I already answered that question. I hate this little Twitter interface here on vMix. It doesn't let me see like what they're named.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I can set up another field that puts the name in, but it doesn't like show.
Yeah, it's just hard so to rotate name it. Between yeah. them. Like if I had a lot of tweets, you know. But hey, we do have a voicemail line, by the way. If you guys want to leave me a voicemail, try to keep it to under 30 seconds. In lieu of a phone call service, at least we have voicemails. I can play some of your voicemails here on the show. Just go to morninginvest.com/Clayton. I believe that's what it's set up as. Yeah, morninginvest.com/Clayton. And you should be able to leave us a voicemail message. Ask us about stimulus, finances, housing market, personal finances, debt, anything like that. Let me just make sure I got the right URL here. It's too late. That ship has sailed. Yes. So go to morninginvest.com/Clayton. We've got a SpeakPipe account set up. So you can just click on the start recording button. Tell us your name, where you're from, and try to keep it to about 30 seconds, and we'll play it here on the show. Much love to all of you. Let me see if we got any other people who bought some merchandise in our store that sent us some photos. If any time you buy one of our shirts, sweatshirts, mugs, etc., you can share it. I don't have any new ones today, but if you do, send them in to us. Send them in to us like...
Barbara says, I left you one last week.
Barbara did. You did? I'll have a talking to my team and find out what's going on there. I had Bernice from Omaha send us one, but the file is corrupted. I couldn't get the photo. It's like a blank page. So Bernice from Omaha, if you're watching, send us your photo again. Try to send it as a JPEG. That'd be really helpful. Send it in if you pick up one of our mugs. I like this fall picture here from Jennifer. Like you get one of our Grover mugs from our store. Send us a nice fall photo, winter photo. I would love to see some of that. So thanks to all of you for your support. And yes, I am on Twitter. I'm Clayton Morris on Twitter. If you want to send me some tweets there as well. Anything else that I missed today? I don't think so. I think that's going to do it for the show today.
Somebody, Derek is asking.
Thank you so much. Yeah, go ahead.
Derek is asking, can the nightlife show go members only too? Because there's so many people in the chat room, scroll so fast. No, unfortunately, because of the way those are done as premieres, it's a manual process to go in and set that up. Currently. Yeah.
Currently. Yeah. YouTube's making a whole bunch of changes. So hopefully, maybe soon we can do that.
Yeah. Well, we can. It's just a manual process that we'd have to go in and do before, like as it's starting. So somebody would have to physically be there to turn that on every time. And that's
okay.
That's a challenge.
Yeah. So we try. But yeah, thank you. So join us again tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern time right here on the channel. Make sure you're a subscriber. I hope all of you are subscribers. And by the way, how many likes do we have today? I don't check on this often because I don't need my ego stroked. But I love it. Like, we have 6,000 people watching. Can you guys all smash that like button right now?
2,029 likes.
All right, so we should have close to 6,000 likes. Please go ahead and smash that like button. I really appreciate
smash it.
And let me know where you guys are. I'm curious what platform you guys use. Do you watch us on an iPhone, a mobile device, an Android phone? Do you watch us on Apple TV, your Roku box, your tablet, your computer? I know some people say they sit in the car when they're on the way to the gym and they listen to us at the gym. Tell me where I'd love to hear. See here in the chat where you guys watch us.
Smash that like button.
Are they smashing
2K
it?
2K in likes.
2,200.
They're smashing it.
Keep on smashing.
Thank you guys so much.
Grover, I'm curious.
Grover says, please keep on.
Yeah, keep hitting it. Smash it for Grover.
Smash it for me.
You said you're curious. What?
I'm curious if how many people in here actually use Discord. Who uses Discord in here? And who would join a Discord channel if we set one up? Just want to see if it's worth putting it together.
A lot of people on their phones, laptop, PC, computer at work, watch on my TV, Trula Klein on my TV. Wallace Shockton says iPhone first, then a computer. Becky Vauter says iPad. Ashley Jackson in the car while I work. I watch on a PC if I'm out on my phone. My wife needs to do a show. No, she doesn't. Sorry, just joking. will we see Natalie hosting soon? I don't know. We'll see.
Katie.
Listen to my car. Bixby girl. YouTube and iPhone. I watch it on my Roku, and then I text on my Android. That's awesome. Katie, that says, David, that voice is terrifying.
Yeah.
Rover's voice.
Well, I think she means
this voice.
Because
this is not terrifying.
One could debate that.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the context. Like if it was like,
I'm watching you.
That could.
Someone says, "What is Discord?"
Yeah, so I was going to explain
a little discussion with.
So Discord. Discord is like a chat room kind of thing. It's an application that you would download, and then the community is in there, and then you guys can, it's kind of like a forum in a way. And so if you've had Slack or Messenger or something like that, it's kind of like that, but you can break it out into different rooms, and then you guys could just like have conversations all day long. And then every once in a while, Clayton and I could jump in there and do, you know, Q&As or something like that for fun. But it's just another way to kind of connect the community. And then Twitch is another streaming platform that's owned by Amazon, but it's more conducive to community. So it's a way for us to kind of do some of the things we're doing here on YouTube, but they do it much better. So we've been talking about simulcasting over there because one thing that Twitch has that YouTube doesn't is the ability for other members that are, you know, doing okay right now financially to gift a subscription to somebody that can't afford it so that you can still be a member and everything and help support the channel. And it's like the community is supporting the community. So that would be the end goal is to have, you know, just this big community of people helping people and having good conversations like we have every day on this show and just kind of taking that and having it ongoing rather than ending after the show every day.
Yeah. No, I love that. Also, someone just asked, I think Shelly Kelly Girl asked, hey, do you have a podcast? And yes, I do. We have an audio version of this podcast and it looks like this. So go over to, you can get it wherever podcast, you know, if you use Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Do me a favor though. If you do subscribe, we publish it later in the day. Go over and grab it and please leave us a 5-star review. Be so kind. Download it on Apple Podcasts and leave us a kind review. You can listen on Google Podcasts and other places, but really the one that matters the most is Apple Podcasts. So if you have a podcast player on your phone, go download it on Apple, grab the podcast, and you can subscribe. We have Grover's picture right there. Thank you for all of your kind 5-star reviews. We have like 15 ratings right now. If you'd leave a nice kind 5-star review, I will read them here on the show. How about that? How does that sound? Would be great. We'll show you leaving your 5-star review. So we've got a lot of episodes there. So thank you to all of you. We got some Common Sense Show. Best of Michigan says Clayton always does a great show. So thank you so much for your kind, kind feedback. I really appreciate it. So yes, we do have a podcast version, an audio version of this that publishes later in the day, a few short hours later. So thank you so much, Derek, everyone else. Much love to all of you. And we will see you back here bright and early tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time for our live show. And then again tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern time as well. So 9 and 9. I'll see you back here at 9 and 9.
It'd be like 9 and 9.
9 and 9. See you back here in 2 and 2. 9 and 9. 9 p.m. We'll have another show on the stimulus and updates this afternoon for you as well. Take care, everyone.